We've got the Carolina Chocolate Drops here in Studio B. They've come on back after three or four very busy years. Welcome back to Spindale.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to be back.
Welcome back to Western North Carolina. Justin Robinson's got his banjo. Rhiannon Giddens has got the fiddle. A couple fiddles with her. Actually, they all have got, between them, three or four fiddles and banjos. And Dom Flemons is here as well with all sorts of cool-looking instruments. We'll have to post some photos, Dennis, of this good session. Welcome back anyway. You all, I don't remember where you all live. And you know what? Maybe you don't remember either because you're traveling so darn much. I know since January you've just been going. Where are you all hang your hat these days?
I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina.
All right. I'm in Durham.
You're in Durham?
I live in New York City now.
All right. Dom's in New York. You still have family in Arizona?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Yeah, Arizona, and got a lot of friends in Chapel Hill still.
All right. Cool. So still got some good, strong North Carolina roots between you all. And playing in South Carolina tonight, like I said, at the Handlebar in Greenville. We got good times before us this hour with some good songs and talking about what you all been up to. Why don't we start with a song, The Carolina Chocolate Drops on WNCW.
All right. We're going to whoop an old Johnny Cash one here. So sing along in your seats if you know it.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson, I'm going to mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson, look out Jackson Town.
We'll go on down to Jackson, go ahead and wreck your hell. Go play your hand, you big talking man. Make a big fool of yourself. Go on to Jackson. Go comb your hair.
I'm gonna snowball Jackson.
See if I care.
When I blaze into that city, people gonna stoop and bow.
Yeah, right.
All these women gonna make me teach them what they don't know.
Look out, that's all she lead you around town like a scalded hound with your tail tucked between your legs. Go on to Jackson, you big talking man. I'll be waiting in Jackson behind my Jeep and fence.
Oh, we got married in a fever, higher than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire. Ever since the fire went out.
The Carolina Chocolate Drops here on WNCW, a live, lively session underway here in Studio B. And Justin Robinson playing the part of Johnny Cash, and Rhiannon Giddens singing the June Carter part. Nice choice on that one. Boy, as I said, you were last here 3 or 4 years ago, and so many things have happened since then that are big for you all. One, of course, is the new release, Genuine Negro Jig, and getting signed on to None Such Records. That was big. That was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And some big passings of some folks. Mike Seeger and Odetta, a couple ones that are really, I know, are really big influences in you. I know, Dom, mm-hmm. you've written a little bit, I think, about or talked about Mike Seeger and the influence he had
absolutely
on you, and then all the different shows you all been on. I mean, just your growth has just been almost exponential, from being on Prairie Home Companion and a bunch of Grand Ole Opry appearances to the Tavis Smiley Show and all sorts of stuff. I think you were the first black string band to be on the Grand Ole Opry, huh?
Yep, as the Grand Ole Opry, as an establishment as itself. We were the first whole black string band to be on there.
Yeah.
There were singular performers, and then there were also some black string bands that played early on before it was the Opry. And so that, you know, we're fortunate that we got to be able to do that.
Yeah, big stuff. I just saw you guys a couple weeks ago at the Americana Music Association Award ceremony there at the original Grand Ole Opry, the Ryman Auditorium. You did a most amazing rendition of Hit 'Em Up Style. I guess they're always amazing to us that don't get to see them perform live too often, and just big standing ovation for that. So lots happened, all these different venues and all. What's maybe the most kind of unusual or memorable venue or crowd you've played before in the last few years? Is there one that, you know, maybe in your trips to Europe or a venue where it was just like, wow, these are totally new people to have discovered this style that we do?
Well, this year we went to Norway for the first time. That was different, because we had never been out to that sort of part of Scandinavia before. So that was like,
or Scandinavia at all.
We hadn't been in that region. So it's like, like in Europe, you know, you get to these different parts of it, and it's just like way different. Not even close to being related to anything else you've ever seen.
And so it was a blues festival, too, mostly electric, you know, blues. So it was, like, different country, and then also that kind of festival. What we were doing was pretty different, so it was
But it was like blues hammer blues for you Ghost World fans out there.
So you haven't done one of the, kind of Celtic fiddle festivals or Scandinavian ones? This would be interesting for you to get back to. They do some neat ones up there.
We did Celtic Connections.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah, we were in Glasgow earlier this year.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And Africa, I think, Rhiannon, have you been to Africa?
I've been there. We have not been there as a band. I went to Gambia for 2 weeks. But
That's been like 3 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, study a banjo ancestor.
Yeah.
Cool. Which we use in the show every once in a while. So.
Uh-huh. Neat. But this new one on None Such Records, Genuine Negro Jig, produced by Joe Henry, mm-hmm. who, for folks that don't know, Joe Henry is a great artist in his own right, but he's just produced all these huge names of ones that we at WNCW just, you know, love and revere. And I just imagine when you all sat down with him, and he was just like, I reckon he was just like, gosh, how do I help you all? You guys, you got it down, and it seems so different than the artists he's worked with before. Did he add any particular things that stand out that...
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure he did something.
But you're right, though. That was something that was a little different from the stuff he had worked before. A lot of these older artists, they'd been around so much, they just said, you know, I'll do anything you want. You give me the material and we'll cut it. And especially with the Solomon Burke record, Joe went with the notion of building the band and then forming it around Solomon singing the song, which is something that Solomon hadn't been doing. He'd usually come in, the arrangement was there, and then he just put the vocals on top. So that was slightly different. But with us, we had a lot of the material together, and he just put nice little touches and suggested things here and there.
Yeah. Where did the Blue Cantrell cover, Hit 'Em Up Style, come from?
Oh, that's one we'd been doing.
Yeah,
like
been
before
doing
we
for
went
a while.
In the studio. That was one that people have just been waiting for us to record.
Yeah.
So we just had to get in and do it.
We've been waiting too.
Yeah, totally. Just like, when is Hit 'Em Up Style coming out? It's coming out soon, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good to have that one out there. So
it's
been a big fan favorite. So
cool. Is there a video? I don't even know. I don't follow videos.
Like an official video?
Yeah,
no, there's tons of YouTube videos, not an official video. No.
You could have a little fun with that. What do you think?
We're thinking forward to the next.
Yes.
We've been playing it so long. It's like it seems like kind of weird if since there are hundreds of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
You put do better than that. You know.
It's the Carolina Chocolate Drops on WNCW. What do you want to play next?
I think think we'll do, we're speaking of fan favorites, we'll do Cornbread and Butter Beans, which is one, that's one we can't really get away with not doing at a show. So, and that's all right, because it's one of our favorite songs. All right, I'm going to move the microphone so you can actually hear the banjo. There we go. Let me try that again.
Indeed, a fan favorite and a favorite of ours here at WNCW, Cornbread and Butter Beans from the Carolina Chocolate Drops. That has become a staple for both Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day here for our playlist here. Not a whole lot of songs that are like that. Where's the best place you've gotten Cornbread and Butter Beans? Where's the best? At least in Carolina. We'll have to narrow it down.
Oh, in Carolina.
Because I'm sure everyone just slings it at you everywhere, right?
Well, you'd be surprised. No. Well, we had some.
But not to the right specifications.
Yeah. It's gotta be.
I mean, it wasn't North Carolina, but the most recent amazing Southern food meal we had was in Bristol at Eats. It's a restaurant called Eats, and it is like we were all just like comatose afterwards. I mean, we ate so much. It was cornbread and beans and collards and good, really good.
Yeah. I'll tell you where I've gotten the best consistent cornbread and beans from. Not butter beans specifically. Okay. Like Micah Renan's husband, he'll tailgate when we have time. before gigs, and he's been you know, he's been under the Southern Critique, and, you know, he's an Irishman, so he doesn't know the Southern Critique of cooking, so he's been under watch, and he's been making some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the past couple of times he made some good greens and mac and cheese, cornbread, and pinto beans.
All right.
It was real nice.
Yeah, and how's his Irish soda bread?
Well, I make that, actually.
You make that?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. All
so
right.
So we kind of swapped up a little bit. I'm yeah. making
Friday,
the scones
folks.
And the soda bread. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Cool. Maybe he's tailgating in a parking lot right now listening with yeah. your sweet daughter. I'll have to head on out there afterwards, see what he's cooked up. We're talking with the Carolina Chocolate Drops. And it's interesting to study how the three of you got into folk music. Dom, yours is maybe one that a lot of folks can relate to. You're kind of into rock music, and from there you learn about the folk music revival.
Yeah,
and you said you got a bunch of Dylan albums back in the day when you know, they were good and affordable and stuff, and that was just boom from there. Yours is fascinating, Rhiannon. You were into... You did some English country dancing or did a little bit of that at Oberlin because you're a Jane Austen fan.
Yeah, well, yes. I went to the dance thinking it was a country dance, and it was a contra dance, and I was hooked from then on. And after I left school, which I was there for opera, after I left school, I went home and started contra dancing, and I was a goner. So the only reason I don't do it now is because I'm on the road too much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've come across a lot of folks who, you know, Dylan turned them on to folk music, but Jane Austen,
yeah,
that's a new one. And you, Justin, I'm still not quite sure how you got into it. I know opera maybe as well, because your mother was an opera singer in Charlotte, right? Mm-hmm. And you were classically trained on the violin, but then something about studying linguistics and working in a law firm when somehow folk
yeah,
music.
I just started listening to it. It's really there's no other. More interesting thing than that. I was listening to it because I liked it.
He's fluent in Portuguese and Spanish and speaks some Arabic too, so he's not letting on that he does quite a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah.
Knows a lot of botany and a lot of animal, you know, stuff too. Does a lot of farm work.
Cool.
So, you know, he does a bunch of different stuff too.
That's fascinating. I guess when time allows, anyway, since you're so busy and stuff. Do you still keep up with that?
When time allows.
Uh-huh. Cool.
I remember one time we were going to get ready for a gig, and I saw him on his cell phone getting the final details together. And this is when he was still trying to keep his garden. He was hoeing the yard with the cell phone in one hand. And we were like, come on, you got to get going. All right, you know.
That is a perfect visual to describe you all, too, as well. Just you're from the old tradition. You research the old styles of the banjo and old-time music, but then you're so modern as well with that. That's great. Maybe that'll be the album cover for your next release.
Phone with the cell phone.
So the three of you come from these, you know, you come into folk music from somewhat different arenas, I guess. But it was old Joe Thompson, maybe, that kind of got you all together.
That's right.
Old African-American fiddler from North Carolina, and y'all kind of sitting at his feet on his porch, learning his style, sort of short bow style.
Well, not quite on his porch, in his living room with the thermostat turned up to 85.
But. Yeah. and the thing, too, is, you know, at the Black Banjo Gathering, that was where we all three made a connection with him. Like, Rhiannon had met him earlier. But he'd always had an open invitation for anybody to come down to his house on Thursdays, and we just happened to, it worked out right that we all three could go down there, and we just kept going week after week, and it was just, you know, it was just a nice social gathering to have, you know, and we played the same 12 tunes over time, so it was just, you know, we got a really nice flow happening.
And he's 86 at the time, he's 91 now, and, you know, he reminds us all of our grandfathers, you know, it's just a real... You know, mine's been gone for a long time, so it's nice also, because that's where my family's from. A lot of my family's from Ebon as well, so it was just kind of like almost a family connection, you know. I'm sure we're related somewhere down the line, but, you know, so it was just really neat for all of us to have that piece as well, you know.
Yeah. Now, he has what I have read is a short bowing style. How would you describe his style? What does that mean?
If you had anything.
Kinda. He has some long strokes in there, too.
Like, well, the thing about a lot of the fiddling that comes from Joe and also another guy named Leonard Bowles is a more extreme example of the style. It's like, instead of it being like the fiddle runs the song and then the banjo's backing it up, it's like the banjo more or less is holding it down while the fiddler weaves around in it.
Okay.
So that's kind of where Joe's coming from. Like, if you know, like, he requires a banjo player, and Rhiannon happens to hit it in a way that he likes. And so, you know, even when playing with Justin and Rhiannon, he'll do some long strokes just because Justin's and Rhiannon are both keeping the melody. He'll just work on top of that. So yeah. It's kind of like a blues guitar or blues harp or something where it just weaves around the melody.
Okay.
That's kind of what they mean with that. And he's got a nice double shuffle.
Making the puppy bark.
Making the puppy bark.
Yeah.
For folks that want to get to know the sounds of Joe Thompson, it's on one of y'all's releases from Merlefest.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
mm-hmm.
the last one with the Music Maker Relief Foundation, great North Carolina mm-hmm. nonprofit that we're just such big fans of, helping out all sorts of musicians, keeping the roots music styles alive here. And you've done great work with them over the years, Tim Duffy and company. Yeah. So that one recorded at Merlefest has a bunch of cool stuff from
Mr. Thompson. Yeah, and part of every sale of that CD goes to Joe.
That's right.
Very good.
So, yeah.
All right. And Dom, you mentioned the Black Banjo Gathering where you guys really kind of united and gelled. And I was thinking that was an annual event that I just happen to keep missing every year. But no, it was every 5 years or so, and it was just the fifth anniversary.
It was the once. We did a five-year anniversary. So it was like not even at that regular. We don't even know when the next one will be. So
But it's been neat to see the way that the awareness of that sort of history is growing. So hopefully, it's been 5 years. We're hoping maybe in the next 5 to 10 years that might expand to where other folks can organize stuff as well. Because that's the thing, is it's like there's so much to cover. You know, when we're in North Carolina, there's a focus there. It'd be great if they had it in D.C. It'd be great if they had it in New York or Texas or, just trying to open that, or Louisiana even. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have a Black Banjo gathering in Louisiana.
Sure.
And all that stuff.
Norway.
Yeah.
Got folks listening right now. Let's get it going.
Yeah, there's actually a blues center in Norway. Uh-huh. It's a huge blues center. It's amazing.
That's funny. Talking with the Carolina Chocolate Drops here on WNCW. What do y'all want to play next?
Well, we'll play a tune from Joe. This is a Cindy Gal. And what you're going to hear Dom playing is The Bones.
Yeah.
Cindy Gal from the Carolina Chocolate Drops here on WNCW. And with apologies to David Holt, who may be listening right now and has been here a few times, that might be the best bone playing we've ever had here in Studio B. What do you think, Dennis? I mean, my God. Four different ones, both hands filled with them.
Well, it was funny. David, he was a good inspiration for me. Before I moved out, I heard his the album he did with Doc Watson, Legacy.
Yeah.
And there was some really amazing rhythmic stuff. And I also... this is before I played The Bones. I checked out his rhythm video and stuff like that. So he's a guy that inspired me a good deal. And it was funny, at the gathering, see, when I played that tune, this one, he asked me about this rhythm here. So it's...
And you know, I figured he knew he had all of the stuff, and but he was like, "Dom, you got to show me how to do that." And I was like, "Oh, come on, David Holt."
Shoes on the other foot.
It was really neat. And also, bones is such a unique instrument that when you meet other bones players, it's always from another very unique perspective and a unique musical approach. So it's neat to be able to be in that community now.
Yeah, yeah. What do you know about the history of bones playing? It's slavery days, further to Africa. Do we know?
All the signs point to a European origin in terms of the bones playing it in that sort of way, just like with Spain, castanets, and you find it in European stuff. And then it mixed when it came into America. It mixed, and it, you know, you can do a lot of different things with two hands. So you can play like the clave. So it had, you know, you can incorporate, you know, Africanisms into a lot of the rhythm as well as European ideas as well. So it's a really, it's not specific enough to where it can be. It has boundaries. But when it hit the States, you know, I think it got big with in slave music, and then it became minstrel show music. But it, you know, it's one of those sort of things.
Cool, yeah.
But again, it's one of those things. It's just bones, so it's like a jug or something like that. It's really hard to trace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the things that we love most about you, the drops, is the research you've done. We just got an email this morning when we were announcing that you're going to be here from a woman who lives in Silva. She was a humanities professor, and Carol Ann, she said, quote, I commend them for the research they do and the respect they give to all the genres and artists who influence their work. Obviously, the best way that you all collect research, I'm sure, is going to festivals, but Mount Airy and all these festivals where you can just co-mingle with all these folks, and of course sitting at the feet of great folks like Joe Thompson is a great one too. Any other great kind of books that stand out, or works, or other directions you can give to other people that might be wanting to follow research?
Well, a big connection for us to actually our current album, Genuine Negro Jig, that what we found is that as we've done shows, scholars have actually come up to us like during intermission or after the show and go, I've got something you might be interested in, you know, and that's been really amazing. People have been, you know, who have been so generous with their work with us. And then we kind of become their performing arm, like, you know, just kind of get that out there, you know, in terms of Living Again. And the title cut, Genuine Negro Jig, it was a tune collected in the 1800s by Dan Emmett. And we got more information by a couple named Howard and Judith Sachs, and they've written a book called Way Up North in Dixie. And it's about a black string band family called the Snowdens who lived right down the street from Dan Emmett. And it's a really interesting book. And it's things like that that we didn't even know were out there. And then, you know, they came up and told us about it, and we're like, it just enhances, you know, what we do. And it's kind of like, it's a great sort of cycle. Like, you know, they've done the work, and then, you know, Bob Winans gave us a copy of the tune Genuine Negro Jig. He's working on the manuscript. He has it. Gave us a copy. We've been playing it, met the sax, you know, and now we get more information. And so it's just kind of like the cycle that, you know, that feeds itself. It's
and,
really
and
great.
And something that I want to mention, especially to younger people too, is a lot of these people, it's, you know, because we kind of get the notion of famous people as like, you know, rock stars or people that are unattainable. And a lot of these people that do the folk music, they're university professors, and they're people that are actually very easy to get in touch with. So anytime you find some old time stuff you like, look for who recorded it. And just look them up. That's what happened. I mean, that's what we've done in some ways. Bob just, you know, he was at the gathering, and then, you know, he emailed me one day because he's on the Black Banjo listserv, and just, you know, trying to, you know, you can find a lot of these people, and they're more than willing to share the information as long as you're just interested.
Because it's their passion, just
that's
like
right.
It's
right.
It's
passion.
Like meeting Mike, you know, Mike Seeger. We met him at the gathering, and then he was like, come out to the house anytime. We all went out there a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I went out there a few more times, and, you know, that they're all about, you know, spreading the information. Because that's the thing, too. The generations are changing hands over in the folk community, too. And, we, you know, anybody who's in it has noticed that in the past 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
It's really been kicking into overdrive because these 60s revival people, they're dying because they're in their 70s and 80s now. You know, and, you know, if you're interested and you're a younger person, just go and try to meet them. Go out there. Find out what they're doing.
You were talking about Snowden's Jig in particular, mm-hmm. and you reminded me that that you talked about it at length on the World Cafe, which we air weeknights here on NCW. Happy birthday to David Dye today.
Oh, all right.
But you talked at length about Snowden's Jig, mm-hmm. and I just remembered just getting so excited that here are all these thousands of people that don't normally have access to this folk tradition. See, they listen to the World Cafe, a little more on the contemporary music side, and here they were learning this fascinating history about this tune and Snowden and the family and all.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we were just blown away, you know, and the fact that we get to play the tune and talk about it, I mean, you know, you can't get much better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a part of history that, I mean, really kind of stands for, there's so many tunes in American history where it's kind of a murky, where did it come from? Where does it come from? And it's just, to have a name even that close connected to it is just, you know, it's just jackpot, you know?
And it's an interesting tune in itself as well when we're performing it. So that musically it's something that's pretty interesting to hear. And so it's, you know, then we, I don't know, in one way it's very epic, you know, it hadn't been played for over 100 years,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's just music. And when you hear it, it's an amazing piece of the culture.
Is there an artist that, you all are still have yet to meet that you're hoping to, that's on your A-list?
That's a good question, because we've met a lot of amazing people.
Yeah.
I know there is, but it's just...
Jack Holzman, someone I want to meet. He's the president of Elektra Records.
I thought so,
and we're going to try to make it to the Folk Alliance next year, and I hear he's a keynote speaker. He's you know, a lot of people actually have been kind of production folks that put a lot of the albums that I really enjoyed together. Those are people I've been wanting to meet.
Unfortunately, a lot of people I want to meet are dead.
Yeah,
right.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
But
I see Justin's wheels turning, but yeah. I don't know.
We'll think up like 5 or 6 after the show's over.
Done, yeah. And maybe by Folk Alliance, you'll get to meet them. For the folks that don't know, Folk Alliance is a really big annual gathering. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's work on having a regional one in the Asheville area real soon.
Oh, cool.
Sometime in this next year.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Talking with the Carolina Chocolate Drops on WNCW and your future plans in the next year or two, another album? Is
Make
there something
another
coming
album,
together?
Keep recording, you know. We got some pretty exciting projects coming up next year. We can't quite announce them yet, but they're, other than just doing shows, we actually are doing some conjunction with theater and things that are we're really excited about. So,
all right.
So stepping out a little bit.
Well, we look forward to it. Carolina Chocolate Drops about to head on up to or down or over to Greenville for their show tonight at the Handlebar. Mm-hmm. Will you give us one more before you head out?
Yeah, here's the one we can't not play. So we're gonna play this one. It's a little tune you may have heard of called Hit 'Em Up Style. You ready over there?
Yeah. Let me. Yeah.
We're good. Oh, I'm gonna put my headphones on. I can hear what Justin's doing over there. Ready?
Marcus on a shopping spree, and on the way grabbed Soleil and Mia, and as the cash box rang, I threw everything away. Hey ladies, when your man wanna get buck wild, I just go back and hit him.
Carolina Chocolate Drops wrapping up a session here in Studio B. One session that features not only the best Bones performance in the studio, but the best human beatbox we've ever had here for sure. And I think the first to hit the Ryman, that was great when you did that there at the award ceremony.
Guess
last
I'm just
month.
A singer.
That's some mighty
nothing
fine
special
singing
over here.
Too.
That's fine.
Oh my gosh, man. Are you kidding?
thank you for acknowledging the backup.
Oh, please.
Yes, Giddens, we are so honored that all three of you are here for this great session again, and we hope you come back next time you are able to. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks.
And details on their website, CarolinaChocolateDrops.com.